Attention, FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your morning show prep begins now.
Oh my, it's the busiest week it's ever been. This whole week has been like one big Richard Scarry book. It's 3 minutes and 2 seconds after the hour of nine. In this, the month of, still March? Yeah, month of March. The 30th. The year of our Lord, 2005. The year of our Lord having a whole different meaning this week for several people, by the way. I think Jerry Falwell might have been bending over to pick something up off the floor when God aimed for him, though. He's grimly clinging to life. Jerry Falwell clinging to life like some sort of barnacle clinging to the other side of a garbage scow. I do have the highest respect for him, though, because he is a man of God. It's 503-535-9100. Live from the plushly appointed Ed Not Overly Ostentatious Studios of Action 910 Talk Radio for Guys. Greetings and salutations, my friends. The cavalcade of whimsy is underway. 503-535-9100 inside Portland. If you're outside of Portland, may God have mercy on your soul. You can also call us, 1-877-535-9100. If you'd like to email today using one of the internets, it's rick@rickemerson.com. Rick@rickemerson.com. That's what you can do. By gosh. All right, we've got a whole bunch of stuff today here in the great city of Portland. Once we broadcast here in the back to the feces-filled Willamette River, we have... First of all, and I'll say this, we are 1 hour and 25 minutes away from a huge announcement about Listener Party 8. Listener Party 8, which is coming up Friday, April 15th, that's at 8 p.m., the Viper Room on 7th and Hawthorne. We are coming up on that. It is coming up Friday, April 15th, 8 p.m., Listener Party 8.
Here's the money that I owe you.
Thank you. So we have a huge announcement, and I was reluctant to say anything about it yesterday. I didn't want to, because I knew that the minute we started to pimp it, that it was something would happen, and it would fall apart, and we wouldn't be able to pull it off. But all the chips are in place, all the pieces have been put where they go. Those are the facts. That's the timetable. We're ready to announce it today at 10:30. I meant to put that on the blog, but then, you know how it goes. But at 10:30 today, that is 10:30 this morning, about an hour and 24 minutes from now, we will have a huge announcement about Listener Party 8. So that's coming up. So you want to be listening for that. Also exciting news, and I really do, sometimes I say that I'm holding things in my hands and it's more of a figurative holding. I'm just lying sometimes, but I really am holding in my hands right now tickets to Sin City, a special midnight premiere of Sin City, which is this Thursday night. So not Friday, you know, not Wednesday into Thursday, but tomorrow night at midnight. A special midnight screening of Rodriguez's Sin City, which I saw last night, which we'll talk more about here in a sec. So I got those tickets. We're going to give those away today and maybe some tomorrow. So Sin City ticks, as the promo people say. What else? Well, the week continues to roll up. We've got everybody's either dead or dying. That's pretty much... 90% of the people in the news today are either in the grave or 1 foot in the grave. I will not be passing along any of the Terry Schiavo jokes that I started to hear yesterday, because that would be wrong. It's not a thing I'm going to do. You've got the internet for that. You've got the internet and that guy that works in the cubicle down the row from you. It's not a thing I'm going to share. It would be inappropriate at this juncture for me to start doing that. Oh, we've got the latest on that finger that was in the big bowl of Wendy's chili, too. That's a fantastic story. That's going to be one of a... I'm already telling you right now, when the end of the year comes and we do the obligatory, what were the biggest news stories of 2005? That's going to be one of them. That finger in the bowl of chili is fantastic. I don't even care if anybody else finds it fantastic. I do, and that's what counts. We have a snuff watch coming up today, which is either sad or fantastic, I suppose, depending on where one lives on the... If you're in Utah, this is almost certainly a fantastic snuff watch, just because... That's how people are there. We have News that you've always suspected about Michael Jackson, but that you still weren't really prepared to read in print today. See, doesn't that make you want to listen? See, doesn't that make you want to continue your time spent listening and elongated here in the program?
That was a guarantee, Rick Emerson.
I think I'll increase my TSL.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Clyde Lewis is going to be here as well with news at Gran Cero. We'll have Jolie with How Chicks Think. And we didn't get to the top five yesterday. And that's, you know, that is what it is. But we will get to the top five today, brought to you by Wentworth Chevy Town. And we've got Sin City tickets for that. It's a mystery top five, and we're going to make it doubly difficult. It's not just going to be some My Three Songs crap. We'll do the mystery top five late, but you're going to have to name the artist as well as the thing, as well as the overarching theme. I'm not just going to give these Sin City tickets to anybody. So that's all coming up. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and strangely bow-legged Sarah Dillon, who's hobbling down the hall today like a diamond miner who's had her ankles broken.
I know. Kickboxing hurt.
Math is hard.
Well, it's been a little while, or as the rude desk guy at my kickboxing place announced the number of days it's been since I actually went in front of a lot of people.
That's for how many days has it been?
It was a lot. I've been riding my bike.
More than a week?
Oh, yeah.
More than a month?
A little bit over. It was 47 days. And he was, and he yelled it in front of everybody. I'm like, oh, yeah, I haven't been here for a while. You know, the weather's been nice. I've been riding my bike. And he's like, I'd say 47 days.
Which is kind of creepy because that implies he's been sort of low-grade stalking you, too.
Ugh.
Like at home, he's got, you know, he's like a prisoner drawing the lines on the wall of his cell, you know, scratching them up. 47. Where is she?
But I didn't know you hurt 2 days. Like, yesterday I was okay because I went the night before last night. And then today I woke up and I couldn't even move.
Always the day after. I mean, you know, it skips a day. It's like fatigue. You know, it's like if you, like today. Like, here's the thing. I'm telling you right now that I'm going to be wasted tomorrow because I only got like 3 hours of sleep last night. It was one of those nights where I just couldn't. You know, it's like you're too hot and then you're too cold. Then you're too hot, then you're too cold. And then the dog is like scratching at the door, and I've got the whole thing because, you know, Lars working graveyard, so I got that thing where the bed dynamic is different, you know, because it's the big empty, and so it's like you're not in your comfort zone, and then never mind, skip it. All right, so in any event, so it's like being tired though, where it always skips a day. So if you see Sarah limping down the street, don't laugh. It would be wrong. Tim Riley's in the Max 910 newsroom and following stories today.
Well, today we're going to play Who's Alive and Who's Dead. Terry Schiavo alive. Johnny Cochran, unfortunately, dead from a brain tumor. The Pope alive, but being fed through his nose by a feeding tube. he attempted to speak yesterday, but the crowd could not understand. Gary Falwell is alive, and his condition has been updated. We'll have that for you. And Dick Clark, no information available.
Dick Clark is begging. Wait, I'm sorry. What have we got? Dick Clark begging pals to let him die. We've actually cut that headline out, and it's now mounted on the wall of the studio here. I don't ever hang things in the studio, because that's a sure way to get fired.
Like, that's what weekenders do.
Yeah, as soon as you bring a potted plant to work, you know, I'm trying to make my cubicle feel a little bit more like home. You're fired. That's what happens. I'm going to put a picture of my children on my wall. You're fired. That's it. So I don't ever hang any. Let's take a quick inventory of the studio wall, shall we? I'm going to start. This is going to be gripping radio. I'm going to look at each wall and tell you what's on it. I can hear that TSL going up.
Surprisingly enough, all of the beer stuff is off the walls.
Well, not all of it, though. See, on this wall to my left, there's an absolutely no food allowed in studio sign. But then above it, this huge Portland brewery honey beer sign. I got to remove that. There's a box of wine in front of me and some thumbtacks. That's on the wall in front of me. On the wall to my right, yet another beer sign from the Brew Fest and that Britney, the only really, really good Britney Spears picture that we've ever bothered to cut out. It's that Esquire magazine where she replicated that, it's like a Mamie Van Doren thing or a Jean Harlow thing. She replicated some famous picture, some chick, some dame. And so that's it. Of course, it's been defaced. It's been defaced by the beer guys and sections of her anatomy have been enhanced. By somebody with a felt tip pen. I have never hung anything in the studio except for this. On the door, right there, the door in the back, we've hung up the Inquirer. Dick Clark says, let me die to pals. So there you go. That's it. Fascinating. In any event, I'm already getting requests for the Sin City tickets. People, what do I have to do? Give them. Let me just talk to you, though, about how fantastic that film is. It's unreal. I'm just telling you. Sarah's trying to speed me along. I'm taking a moment, though, just to tell you.
But
it's
we
a
can,
fantastic film.
I know. We can take, like, a whole segment later, and you can talk about it.
It's a great film. It's unbelievably good. I do want to take this opportunity to thank Scott Daly from filmfever.org, who gave me the hookup yesterday. And the great thing about when you win passes from Scott Daly is that you don't have to wait with the rabble. You just walk. There was a line of people, like 150 people long, and it's like we just walked by right all of, and that's not because of the station or because I'm me or that's literally it's only because of Scott. Like if it had just been me, they still would have stuck me like way in the back of the line. Like I have no pull, I have no swing, I have no clout, I have no juice with anyone. But Scott Daly is the juice master. He is the juicing machine. He is. There's a third one there. He's the juice. He's the juice jitsu. Juicinator. Whatever. Anyway, the most satisfying feeling that was when you walk by the 200 people that are in line for the film screening, and they take you right in through, like, the special side door, and we get the Ebert seats, which is what I call the seat that's right in the middle of the theater. The key to a theater, should you ever be sitting, when I'm doing that thing, aren't I? I'm doing that thing, and I'm going to stop it right now. I'm going to stop right now, and there we go. Back on track. All right, it all begins around the corner. Sin City tickets today, and a huge party announcement at 10:30. Be listening. Here's Trey Parker and Matt Stone. It's the My Own Song. Live from Portland, the Rick Emerson Show, Max 910. Don't go anywhere. Stay there.
Hey! What makes a man? Is it the power in his hands? Is it his quest for glory? Give it all you got to fight to the top so we can know your story. Now you're a man. Now you're a man. A man. You are now a man. You're a man. Now you're a male.
That never gets old. We'll be back after this. The Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Stay right there. Max 910.
Live it.
It's 503-535-9100 or 1-877-535-9100. By the way, I'd like to thank the people at something. The people at the PR Group Incorporated. Is this from you, Tim?
That came in my email.
Do you need a last-minute interview? This is the... We're getting spammed now from these people who are guest bookers. New bra enlarges your breasts while you jog. It's really tempting to book her. Want larger, fuller breast? Breast, it says, singular.
I've always wanted one gigantic breast.
Just one boob that's all, like, huger than the other. Just a big mono boob. new workout bra, women doing new. Is this written by somebody in Japan?
all your breasts belong to us.
Want larger? I'm reading this now from the copy.
Yes.
New bra enlarges your bosoms while you jog. Want larger, fuller breast in 2005?
Sanko Kim, why you still workout bra?
New workout bra, women to increase breast while improve lap times.
What?
Okay. Listener giveaways available if there is a fitting center nearby.
Fitting?
Fitting center's in the back of the guy's van.
Gross.
You help me with them, coach? Here's Tim Riley in the Max 910
News. It's news that hurts.
The mini centers in this
Max 910.
In this pit in my basement.
Now we have the pair of retail giants who settled consumer protection prosecution for allegedly selling an illegal and dangerous muscle stimulator that promised six-pack abs.
Wait, is that the thing, the electric thing you wrapped around your stomach?
This is the Ab Energizer, abdominal muscle simulator that sends electrical currents into your body.
How could that go wrong?
It claimed that consumers could push a button and get 700 sit-ups with no pain, no work, and no exercise. 17,000 fools bought these things.
Now, do you guys know what this is?
Yeah, it's like where you strap on
like
the electrodes,
belt.
Right?
Yeah, and it sends stomach. I mean, because electricity makes your muscles contract. That's like when you get shocked or, you know, or you get whatever. It's like your muscles contract and because your body's an electrical system. Now, here's the dumb thing about this. The good news is that it actually, it does give you, it does give your stomach muscles a workout. Of course, you could get the same thing by zapping yourself with a taser. Or
it also
kind of
gave numerous hernias and burns.
Yeah, that's the bad news. That's the downside. So there is a sort of net loss in the whole thing. But here's the especially dumb thing about this. Although I got to say, man, every story like this gives me hope that someday when radio just implodes for me, I'm going to be able to make a fortune selling gewgaws to nitwits. Because that's what America's all about. Because here's the really funny irony about that workout belt. Is that if you make it through the hernia and the burning, it'll increase your stomach, your stomach muscles will get into shape. But what it doesn't do is get rid of fat. So you'll have this fantastic six-pack that no one can see. So you will have given yourself burning and hernia induction for no reason. Because you'll have muscles that are still hidden under your big-ass beer gut that no one can see. So, good times for you. All right. Oh, wait, here's somebody else. This is from specialguests.com. Mm-hmm. Media advisory. Will Terry Schiavo be arrested today for being in contempt of court? Please book a guest to talk about... Yeah, that's not going to happen. Thank you. Not going to happen. Thank you to specialguests.com.
Well, a local woman is safe after a fire consumed her trailer at the Hidden Valley Mobile Home Park in Hazeldale this morning. She was in the shower when their newly installed smoke alarm went off. She dashed from the inferno just in the nick of time. Her husband, Jack Bell, tells Fox News he was just returning to the trailer park after finishing his paper route.
Cop car turned the corner and I'm going, oh, geez. And all of a sudden, all these guys started going and I'm going, oh, man. And then I watched where they turned and I thought, nah, that ain't good. Somebody's, I'm going to find out it was me.
Yeah, well, I mean, really the phrase, that ain't good, does sort of sum up about 90% of the news that we have here. The Rick Emerson Show. That ain't good. Okay, somebody file that away. We're going to have Jason knock that out the next time they do production. The Rick Emerson Show. That ain't good. And that'll be it. And that'll be our new positioner. Instead of turn it up, it'll be that ain't good.
Top of the snuff watch.
That ain't good. Here's your snuff watch for Wednesday. Don't we have the Dry County Crooks version of this somewhere? Didn't they do a version?
Yeah, somewhere. I think it's in that big box of CDs.
Johnny Cochran Jr., who became a legal superstar during the O.J. trial during the sensational murder, died at the age of 62. He died of an inoperable brain tumor in his home in L.A. He was diagnosed with a tumor in December 2003 and was surrounded by his wife, Dale, and two sisters. Certainly, Johnny's career will be noted as one of celebrity cases and clientele. But he and his family were most part of the work he did on behalf of those in the community. With his colorful suits and ties, his gift for courtroom oratory, and a knack for coining memorable phrases, he was a vivid addition to America's best-known barristers.
Yeah, I tried all night to come up with a rhyme about Johnny Cochran being dead. Like if the tumor will grow, my blood will not flow. You know, or just like if I cannot breathe air. But then it all becomes like a Jesse Jackson thing. Yeah, not a tumor, except that it is. Man, part of me hopes that Arnold Schwarzenegger dies of a big tumor someday, just so he can have the press conference.
He's beginning to look like a big tumor. Have you seen recent pictures of it?
God, now
he needs that abidizer.
I have not posted the Schwarzenegger pictures that we got, but they're crazy. I don't want to get distracted with this, but we got these Schwarzenegger pictures sent to us yesterday. Have you seen these? The pictures of Arnold Schwarzenegger?
No.
Oh, sweet holy God, he's.
Did you post them?
No, I haven't a chance yet, but He's gone downhill. It's not good for... I tried all... Do we have a Cochran rhyme? Who is this?
It's Rob from the House of Rick.
Rob, what is your Cochran rhyme?
All right. If the coffin fits, I must be a stiff.
That's not bad. Thank you. All right. There you go. All right. Yeah, there's something there. So I will take your Cochran rhymes throughout this segment if you'd like to give them to us.
Barry Sheck was on OJ's Dream Team with Johnny Cochran.
There's an emotional pivot to every case that the really great lawyers instinctively find. That part of the story that really will make people care,
right.
That will change their way of looking at it. And Johnny understood it better than anybody I've ever met.
We got this email. See, now the hate mails are already coming in. I don't understand why people hate Johnny Cochran so much, and I know that sounds daft.
Well, people hate lawyers in general.
I understand that
not
people,
necessarily Johnny Cochran.
I understand that people don't like the people don't like lawyers.
Right.
And I know that this makes me sound like one of those talk show guys who's trolling for calls by asking why people. I don't understand. Here's something I don't understand. Our phone lines are open. I'm not trying to be that guy. I'm not trying to be some talk show host. What do they say? What do the management guys say? Driving the phones. I'm not trying to drive the phones by feigning ignorance. But it, you know, but here the thing is, like, if Johnny, like, if you had been charged with something, that would have been the first guy you called. Like, if anybody out there had been charged with a crime, and I gave you your pick of any lawyer on planet Earth, that's exactly who you would have called. That's the first guy you would have called, man. So, and it's not Johnny Cochran's fault. It's not Johnny Cochran's fault that the jury was packed with retards and nitwits. That really seems to be a problem with the Los Angeles jury pool. Not so much with Johnny Cochran. So, you know, is he a weasel and a shyster? Well, not anymore, but was he? Sure, but he's a lawyer. What are you going to do? Johnny Cochran doesn't seem any better or any worse. You know what? Because, like, there's no animosity like this directed at Barry Sheck. You know what I mean? Like, you don't see a bunch of anger. And you just know it's because he's black. That's why. I'm not saying he's a good guy or that he's not sleazy. Jerry's sleazy. He's a lawyer. He defended O.J. Simpson. Of course he's sleazy. But so is Shapiro. So is Sheck. No one. You don't hear anybody out there like a Shapiro hater. So I think it's because he's black and he rhymes. I mean, that really, Americans, white Americans don't like rhyming black men. Can we just call it the way it is? If you're a rhyming black man, middle whitey will hate you. It's just the way that it goes. Doesn't matter if your name is Tupac or Jesse or Johnny. Rhyming black men are not liked by fat white Americans in Vancouver, Washington. It's just the case. Sean, hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, yeah, I got, I'm surprised you didn't get this one. Here it goes, okay?
Uh-huh.
It was a tumor. That was not a rumor. I was sick in the head, but now I am dead.
You did kind of a double one there.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well done, my friend. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, there you go. That's, if the lump's in my head, I must be dead. Yeah, there you go. It's kind of hoeing the same row there. Here's Tim Riley.
Cochran also kept his life in the public eye even after the O.J. trial. Even let the media into his home to observe his domestic life.
How was your day, dear?
Great.
He, with the Johnny Cochran reality show?
He loved his church, family, and race.
I love being an African-American.
But he'll always be remembered for that famous line from the O.J. trial.
If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
Yeah! Listen to that. Man, I knew that was gold the minute he said it. Now, I think this is a thing I did, but maybe it's a thing that I'm just remembering having done that I didn't really do because we've seen it so much in the pop culture. Like all those people who remember seeing crap that didn't really happen, you know, because it's like been saturated on television. But I'm pretty sure that I was watching TV when he said the, if it doesn't fit, you must acquit line. Because I didn't go on the air till 4 p.m. at that point in my career. So I was on the air all, I was in the studio all day long watching the OJ thing because I didn't go on the air until 4. So I am pretty sure that I saw him say that. And if I didn't, I saw it right afterwards on the news. But, man, as soon as he said that, I knew it was gold. You know, if it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
And right there, it's like the game over, you know? Simpson 1 or 2, depending on how you look at it. Everybody else, 0. So, come on, that was funny. How about this?
I'm laughing.
If worms are eating holes in my shirt, I must be in the dirt. Says David. Thank you, David. Here's Tim Riley.
That's today's Stuff Watch.
There you go. Johnny Cochran, dead. Our good friend Diana from downtown weighs in to say that, Rick, your rhyming black man theory is completely correct. This is why Nipsey Russell is so universally despised. That is true. Nipsey Russell is loathed by everyone. So there you go. It explains it all. Here's Tim Riley.
Stories that increase TSL, or time spent listening, specially chosen for the audience.
Thank you.
From California comes word, a severed foot was found in a pile of landfill dirt, which apparently belonged to a man who committed suicide by jumping off a freeway bridge 45 miles an hour. Away. Jesus Lopez jumped from the overpass of the 91 freeway in Paramount, which is next to Cerritos, pronounced dead at the scene. The coroner's report said he was struck by at least one vehicle and suffered massive injuries. Both feet were amputated, but the right foot was never found.
Wait, so is this like a scuba diver in the forest thing? Where is this a thing? Where he jumped and was hit by a car, and then his foot went into the back of a truck and was carried away?
Well, let's continue with the story. We'll find out.
We should make people
inquiring
wait.
Month.
We should make people
it's
wait.
It's a cliffhanger.
Can we take a break now?
Rick, I want to know.
That's what I'm... Of course, everybody does.
See?
Let's take a break now.
These are stories that increase TSL.
Okay, we'll take a break right now. When we come back, we'll
what
tell you...
to the right foot?
We'll tell you how that foot came to be 45 miles away.
And a story entitled, Best Foot Forward.
All right. It's 503... 535-9100 or 1-877-535-9100. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We'll be back after this. Keep listening.
You could reach out and smack him. Rick Emerson, live and local, only on Max 910. Talk radio for guys.
We have another Cochran rhyme. If Whitey don't like my rap, I will take a dirt nap. Well, that's dumb. How about this? I once was a lawyer, but now I'm not because I'm dead. All right. 503-535-9100 or 1-877-535-9100. Oh, Jason Parrish told me the first Cochran joke. Anybody want to hear it?
He already told me the same joke.
Really? But O.J. set up an 800 number to find the real killer of Johnny Cochran.
Yeah.
It's not as good as my, it's not as good as the Terry Schiavo jokes, which we will not be telling. Which we will not.
For another week.
We should set up, we should set up a voicemail somewhere. We should set up a phone number where you can call to hear the Terry Schiavo jokes. It would be wrong to broadcast. Hold on, I'm having a notion.
Wait. What?
Now I'm having a thought. Ah, now I'm having an idea. Okay, I'm holding.
Why
on.
Are you staring at me while you're writing?
Because it's just what I do. I focus on it.
Oh, no,
focus
I thought that it was something.
Yes, I'm sketching your picture. Jack, whatever his style is. What's the guy's name in Titanic? Jack, I see, there you go. The pop culture joke has fallen apart. What's his name? DiCaprio. Jack
I don't know. Now you're confused.
Dawson.
Dawson.
Jack Dawson. I was going to say sketching in Jack Dawson style, but then I couldn't remember his name.
and she's naked.
The whole thread in the sweater unraveled there. All right, hold on. I'm writing down an idea for a bit.
How long has this been?
All right, there you go. I've written down a fantastic bit idea. Good times. All right, we are now 49 minutes away from a huge, I'm huge, announcement about Listener Party 8.
Here's the money that I owe you.
Coming up. I'm sorry.
I hope he's still out of the country. I feel kind of bad about this.
About whom?
Here's the money that I owe you.
Hopefully he doesn't forget this year.
Or Friday. I have no idea what you're... What's tax day? What are you going to do? It's tax day. There's nothing you can do. Listener Party 8.
Here's the money that I owe you.
It's coming up Friday, April 15th, 8 p.m. at the Viper Room. There is a huge announcement coming about that. It's 10:30 today. You want to be listening. 10:30 plus Sin City tickets for a special midnight screen. And don't be a jerk. Don't call to win these if you can't go. If you don't at least know somebody who's going to go. So these are tomorrow at midnight. We're going to be giving those away. And again, in 8 minutes, 10:30 today, we will have a huge announcement. A listener party. You want to be listening for that. Here's Tim Riley. Oh, okay. So we're going to do the second half of the TSL story?
Yeah. So in case you missed it, before the break.
Okay.
A severed foot was found in a pile of roadway dirt belonging to a man who committed suicide by jumping off a bridge 45 miles away. Now, the boot with the foot was the same color and style as the victim's other foot. It had been severed above the leg. Oh, from the leg, above the ankle. It was found by a road crew. In landfill dirt in Topanga Canyon, which is used to repair damage in the area from landslides, 45 miles from the original accident scene. So
he jumps off a bridge, but then his foot is found in a landfill 45 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
How could that have happened?
Well, authorities believe the foot might have got hung up in the car that struck him and fallen off elsewhere. Or perhaps a motorist noticed it later, panicked, and threw it into the bushes. It's possible that someone said, oh, shoot, I have to get rid of this thing.
Hung up in the car. That's a pleasant phrase.
Oh,
how would it be
like under your car trying to change your oil and there's like a foot wedged in there?
What's that dragging sound underneath the car? I wonder if my oil pan is loosening.
Part of the 15-point service.
Every 3,000 miles, you have feet removed from your car.
Yes.
When you go to the Jiffy Lube, they'll check every foot of your car. Oh, wait, hold on. There you go. Thank you. That was funny, you jerks.
Well, that's the end of our news footage on that one.
It's terrific.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm sorry. We're done now.
I wonder if he ate tofurkey.
Stop. Stop. We have to stop. We have to stop right now. Rick, Johnny Cochran rhymes, if the tumor has spread, I will be dead. No, that's not any good. Marsha Clark can kiss my ass now that I'm buried beneath grass. No. You know who really came out the worst? First of all, you know, the thing about the O.J. case, so we were going to talk about it all day, obviously, because Cochran's dead, is that, first of all, whatever happened, I mean, everybody in that case is gone. Marsha Clark wrote that book, gone. Chris Darden, boy, that's a guy who went nuts. Did you ever see him when he had that breakdown after the case? Do you remember that after O.J. and Darden was on television going, I said it to him! Ah! And just crying like a little baby about the fact that they got schooled. And then he wrote that book. About how O.J. was guilty, which he probably was, but then I think Darden went on to represent a bunch of people who were clearly guilty. I'm pretty sure he switched sides and went on to be a defense attorney for a bunch of people who were all guilty of sin. So you know what are you gonna do? Ito never wrote a book, which is man of all the guys in that O.J. case. That's a common lament of mine. I regret that Ito never wrote a book because man, I want to read that. I'm unashamed. I don't care what anybody thinks about me. I am a lowest common denominator bottom feeder when it comes to, which is what my wife called me the other day. She came home. I was on the couch watching Michael Jackson coverage on MSNBC, and she looked at me with contempt, and she said, you are such a, I can't even use the phrase, but she said, you are such an effing bottom feeder. And then she sort of shook her head and went about her business. So, but man, an Ito book, I'm all over that. I want an Ito book. And because I read them all. I read all the O.J. books. I read I Just Want to Tell You, which is the book that O.J. wrote from jail. I'm the only person in this room, I will guarantee you. I'm probably the only person within the sound of my voice who read I Just Want to Tell You, which is that book that O.J. wrote from like from the lockup after he was arrested. I read the hell was that book that Faye the Slut Resnick wrote? Burning Hearts? Something like that. I read whatever Faye Resnick's book was. I read Chris Darden's book. I read Marsha Clark's book. So I'm all over. But anyway, what are you going to do? What am I doing? Is this a Cochran thing? Okay, we'll get one more Cochran thing, then we'll get some real news done. Dan is a first-time yes. caller and a full-time listener in Salem. What's up?
Oh, it's the Marsha Clark had sass. Now I've got a worm wedged in my ass.
No, Dan.
Had sass.
Okay. Rick, about that accident they call a tow truck. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, Blockbuster has agreed to pay about $630,000 to settle claims by 47 states and D.C. that the chain deceived customers with its no late fees campaign. The agreement disclosed by Oregon Attorney General Hardy Myers also requires Dallas-based Blockbuster to make refunds to customers who claim the campaign misled them into thinking they could keep the video or DVD for as long as they wanted.
They think it misled them. It said there were no more late fees. And the thing is, if you were even one day late, they charged you the full purchase price of the DVD.
Many consumers are angry to discover that overdue game and film rentals were automatically converted to the sale on the eighth day after the date due.
So does Blockbuster advertise with us?
No.
All right. Well, let me...
Our listeners are smart enough not to go to a place like that.
First of all, why are you renting stuff there? Why? Why, in the name of all that is holy, are you renting something?
Why rent something from the place that I go to because it's close? But I can't anymore because my fees are too high.
Come on now. I expect better from a varsity letterman.
No, I do go to...
Movie Madness.
I respect Movie Madness. See, I don't have any late fees there because I'll go there. But I have places that are closer.
You ought to get on
But I can't go there anymore anyway, so it's not a big deal.
You ought to get on the Netflix. That's what you ought to get on.
I have the same problem. There's nothing over at the west side of town.
Yeah, no, the Netflix is... That's the place... Okay, well, whatever. I mean, it's... I'm just saying, fine, rent there, don't rent there.
They are a fantastic place.
Look, all I'm saying is, I rent from Netflix, and then I rent from Movie Madness. That's all I'm saying. So Netflix is clearly the way to go. That for me, that's what I do. That's how I have chosen to get my DVDs, is through Netflix, a fantastic company. Of course, with the TiVo, man, it's like the thing about the late fee thing is, like, the days of when you can rent something and watch it that night and just return it the next day, those days are clearly over. Because it's like media saturation at this point. So, you know, whatever. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, stubborn Texans refuse to pay these blockbuster fines.
Expecting any
blockbuster
charge.
Fines.
And I got one. So I didn't pay it. And I don't know whether it's still there, and I don't intend to pay it.
If you don't pay the fine, you will line...
Blockbuster said the no-fees program will continue, but the company has agreed to add signage to its stores to better explain the fine print of the program. We think our original communications are very clear, said the Blockbuster people.
How about not claiming there are no late fees? That'll make it very clear.
No, it's... Well, it doesn't really mean that.
Okay.
Meanwhile, the Pope is being fed through a nasal tube to boost his strength.
You know that they won't just say he's on, like, a feeding tube to keep him alive. They say, this morning, he is receiving sustenance and nourishment through artificial means. They won't just say that he's been all shivoed up.
To improve his caloric intake and promote the efficient recovery of his strength, nutrition via the positioning of a nasal gastric tube.
Okay. Yeah, he's on a feeding tube.
Chris Jansen in Rome is following the Pope's progress.
I spoke with a reporter who has spent almost the entire papacy covering Pope John Paul. He said he thought he actually looked pretty good.
He's really styling now.
Yeah, he really looks. Compared to what? Compared to
Johnny Cochran.
Whatever. I mean, look, if you can sling that garbage with a straight face, I guess I can accept it. You know what I mean? That's got to be a thankless job. Getting up there and saying, the Pope is fine, he's up, he's playing water polo. I mean, if you're able to say that to all of us without cracking a smile, more power to you. But you're a better man than I am, Gunga Din.
Time for the Religious Nutcase Watch.
Here's your Religious Nutcase Watch for Wednesday. Mother Ray Gabbard's show.
Fast and almost endless today. First, breaking news, a former high-ranking Boy Scout of America official has pleaded guilty in Texas to a child pornography charge. Douglas Smith is accused of receiving internet images of kids engaged in sexual acts. He was charged last week with possessing and distributing children's porno. 500 images were found in his computer. He faces 20 years in prison without parole. He worked for the Boy Scouts for 39 years, seven of those here in Portland. And was put on leave this month when the organization learned of the allegations. He then retired.
A Boy Scout is loyal, cheerful, helpful, thrifty, friendly, brave, well, courteous, luscious, supple, nubile, flexible,
bee-stung lips.
Pasty.
The group says Smith led a task force protecting children from sex abuse.
Well, one must know the enemy, I suppose.
I suppose so.
Okay. And the best part... And I mentioned this yesterday, and I'll continue to mention, is that the Boy Scout, and no one will tell you this, and this is not some sort of conspiracy thing, it's just what we call a fact. And the Boy Scouts were founded by a guy who loved nothing better than to sit and watch young nude boys swim in his backyard swimming pool for hours and hours on end, and collected books full of photographs of young nude boys. So, you know, never mind. Well, so the guy worked here in Portland, right?
Yes.
And now he's in jail.
Yes.
Good times.
And from Lynchburg, Virginia, comes word Jerry Falwell is getting better.
Uh-huh.
Doctors in Virginia say the 71-year-old Moral Majority founder is back to breathing on his own after they removed a breathing tube and apparently gave it to the Pope. Falwell checked back into the hospital Monday after a recurrence of the pneumonia that left him hospitalized nearly 2 weeks recently. His condition has been upgraded from critical to stable, But the doctor said there's still a more fluid.
Apparently, God is just tiring of right-wingers this week, because it's been a bad week to be a Republican. Because all the Republicans love are either dead or dying. God has been hitting the smite button repeatedly, and I think he must have just. I don't know whether the killing of Johnny Cochran was some weird reverse affirmative action on the part of the Almighty, or whatever. he's taken down three right-wing icons, you know, so it's like he felt like he had to take down someone on the left. But this is a bad week to be those guys.
After the Reverend Jesse Jackson held a news conference outside the hospice where Terry is being treated, a man was shot with a taser gun and tackled to the ground by officers when he tried to storm into the building. The unidentified man was arrested on charges of attempted burglary and resisting arrest without violence. Police say the man had two bottles of water with him, but he did not reach the hospice door. He is the 47th protester arrested, according to the Tote Board. Earlier, the parents of Terry Schiavo met and prayed with the Reverend Jackson, who called her impending death an injustice. Meanwhile, a federal appeals court today agreed to consider an emergency bid by Terry's parents for a new hearing on whether to reconnect her tube.
Good Lord.
Meanwhile, Terry's mother faced the media again.
Michael and Jody, you have your own children. Please, please, give my child back.
She sounds overcome with emotion, doesn't she? I can hear the Lifetime script being written as we speak. You can hear just in the background that someone, you know, a mother's torments, or caught between life and death, or too totally tubular, something. There's some joke there.
A Kraft Hall of Fame specials.
Yes.
Well, if you express your support to Terry Schiavo and her parents, fighting to keep her alive, you may begin to receive a steady stream of solicitations. Terry Schiavo's parents have agreed to sell your name and the list of supporters to a direct mailing firm. The company, Response Unlimited, pays $150 a month for 6,000 names and $500 a month for 6,000 email addresses.
So if you sent money to Terry Schiavo's mom and dad, mm-hmm. they have in turn sold your name to a marketing company.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's how Jesus would want it. Jesus does love junk mail. Oh, wait, this is an idea I can't possibly endorse. Let's get this email from Todd the Corpse.
He's freaking genius!
Todd the Corpse says, Rick, wouldn't it be awesome if someone would show up to Jerry Falwell's hospital wearing a Tinky Winky or SpongeBob costume and a big Get Well sign? Now wait. I'm having a second idea. I'm sensing a great radio stunt. It would be wrong for people to send Get Well Tinky Winkies to Jerry Falwell. Oh, hold on. There's got to be something here. Hold on. Falwell. Get well. Inky winky. All right. I got to think on that for a minute. There's something there. All right. Here's Tim Riley.
Reporters asked how much trouble these protesters are causing outside the hospice.
Report that the 911 system there, police dispatchers, got a call, or at least several calls, saying that there was a murder in progress. When asked about the location, obviously then they give Terry Schiavo's address at the hospice, clearly trying to disrupt police operations. Have police operations taken a hit because of security and everything else that has had to take place around that facility?
Well, it's certainly, some protesters are certainly exaggerating the topic, the cause of their being here.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, as of this morning, despite what the media would have you believe, this morning there were 10, count them, 10 people protesting outside the hospice. So it seems the protest itself needs to be put on some kind of life support. Let's see who these people are. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hey, Rick. It's Chris.
Hi, Chris. How can I help you?
I just was going to give you a title for the Terry Schiavo story.
Okay. Now, is this a thing that's going to be crude and cruel?
No,
all right.
Not.
Okay.
This is a play on.
We don't have those kind of listeners. Okay.
The beautiful soliloquy, tube or not tube, spelled T-U-B-E.
Tube or not tube.
Tube or not tube.
Yes. Okay.
I know exactly what it's going to be called.
What's it going to be called?
It's going to be called "Starving for Justice: The Terry Schiavo Story."
Totally starving. Oh. Starving for justice. That's fantastic. Excellent. Good times.
Will the theme music be Tubular Bells?
Yes, the tubes. All right. Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
This is David.
Hi, David. How can I help you?
I have a Tinky Winky doll. If you want it, I will donate it to the cause because that would be hilarious.
We should have a gigantic Tinky Winky, like, mural. You know, like one of those big things that the kids do.
A Tinky Winky drive?
Well, you know, one of those things where the dumb kids in school, they unroll a huge piece of butcher paper and they all sign it with their handprints and they send it to firefighters somewhere. Thank you for helping, you know, and then it's like a bunch of idiot children scrawling their names illegibly. We should do that. We should get a huge Tinky Winky thing and send it to Jerry Falwell.
Do it at the party.
Okay, yeah. There you. I like the way you think. There you go. That's at Listener Party 8. We will. You will be able to sign the Jerry Falwell Get Well present.
Here's the money that I owe you.
Thank you so much. All right. Thank you, sir. There you go. See the creativity. This audience runs deep. By the way, we are now 31 minutes away from a huge announcement about Listener Party 8.
Here's the money that I owe you.
At some point, we're going to have to put that over here because you're going to get a blister on that finger. We are now 30 minutes away from that huge announcement. It's coming up Friday, April 15th, 8 p.m., the Viper Room on 7th and Hawthorne, where, by the way, we will be also be holding our Dead Celebrity Costume Contest. Now, you're not required to come in costume. It's not a costume party. You don't have to do that. But if you wish, you can come as a dead celebrity, and we'll have a huge prize.
How about someone on life support?
Well, you're not really dead. You're only you can't come as a brain dead celebrity. It's got to be not like you can't just be mostly dead. Mm. You've got to be all the way dead. Completely dead celebrity, and there'll be a prize for best dead celebrity costume. By the way, you're listening to KOTK, Vancouver, Portland, KSLM, Salem, and Intercom Station. Here's Tim Riley.
I forgot to close the religious nut case.
Oh, there you go. This email says it would also be wrong for the local Portland Gay Men's Choir to record a Get Well song for Mr. Jerry Falwell and then mail it along with the Tinky Winky doll. As we know, songs raise the spirits of the ill. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, let's see what's on TV tonight. America's Next Top Model is on. A model catches a contagious skin condition that disfigures her face.
I'm all over that.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Jaws 3 is on tonight.
Jaws 3D.
Full Court Miracle. Jewish schoolboys convince a former college basketball player to coach their winless team.
Boom shakalaka. Sorry.
Die Hard 2 is also on.
Gotta give 110%. They didn't come to Schwitz.
Jersey Girl's on Stars.
Do that all day. Okay, don't watch Jersey Girl.
That's that.
All right. There you go.
Let's talk about the new flick, Beauty Shop. Queen Latifah.
Is Beauty Shop a sequel to Barbershop?
I don't know.
It should. It should totally be the. Beauty Shop. That should be some female sequel to the Ice Cube thing. All right. I'm sorry. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, Queen Latifah plays Gina, a hairdresser who decides to open up her own place after being fired from another shop. Queen Latifah talks about her character Gina.
She takes a job working for someone, and everything kind of takes off from there. But
sexy?
I think her true desire is to own her own shop. It's always been, and so things happen that kind of motivate her in that direction.
She sounds like Michael Jackson.
Let me lick your head. I liked this the first time when it was starring Ice Cube, and the second time when it was starring Ice Cube, and like the jillions of. Is it a comedy or is it a drama?
I'm not sure.
I'm assuming a comedy.
You can't... Okay. Doesn't it seem like Ice Cube ought to be making a little money off this if he's not?
Maybe it is. Maybe it's another sequel.
Well, because that would be an interesting way to do it, at least. Barbershop 2, and then Beauty Shop. I hope Ice Cube's making some money on that.
Please discuss working with the cast.
Kevin was a dream to work with. I mean, from the moment, you know, we heard he was going to do the movie, it was real exciting.
Milk
and
cookies.
I'm like, wow. I mean, this is one of the perks of the business, getting to work with some of your favorite actors. Alfred Woodard, Kevin Bacon, you know, Andy McDowell, Sherry Shepherd is hysterical to me. You know, so getting to just work with people that you've watched as your career has blossomed, you know what I mean, is exciting.
Kevin Bacon?
Yeah.
All right. I have no comment about that. I have nothing to say. My only comment is that I heard, but cannot prove, that Queen Latifah had a bosom reduction following Chicago. which is too bad, because that was, I mean, it was unreal, her dimensions. So I will be sad if that is in fact true. That's all I had to say about this. Let's see. In Portland, Carly, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
It's a Joni and Chachi type thing. It's a spinoff. She was in the second one. They had a big rumble or something.
She was, because I actually, now see, despite my comment, I actually didn't see the second one. I only saw the first one we had. So the second one wasn't Eve? The second one was Queen Latifah?
No, she was just, like, in it, part of it. Like, she's from the beauty shop down the street, and they were having a barbecue and something. I don't know.
All right, so it is a sequel.
Well, sort of.
Okay, well, sort of a quasi sequel.
Yes.
Okay, well, I feel better about that then. All right, thank you, Carly.
Uh-huh.
All right, there you go. No, I feel better about it. It's just like a Love American style Happy Days thing. Okay.
Let's talk to Sin City director Robert Rodriguez.
Man, let's talk about Sin City first. Now, Tim, first of all, you got to see this. You got to see Sin City.
I have to see it.
Have you seen any of the trailers, the previews?
I have, yes. I mean, I can't see this one at midnight.
It is unreal how good this film is. It is. How do I put this? Two parts. First of all, I'll say it. A, it's like the guy, it's like the Sky Captain guy making a noir film. It's like the Sky Captain guy making sort of a rough and tumble Bogart kind of film, except that it's even better because Sky Captain, which I loved, I did like Sky Captain, very visually arresting, but it didn't feel like it had a lot of heart. It didn't feel like it had a lot of soul to it. It was sort of a surface film. Great film.
Yes.
But not a lot of depth to it. Sin City is very visually arresting, just like the Sky Captain film, in a lot of similar ways. Very black and white, the kind of, you know, some black and white with little splashes of color. I mean, the movie, I would say that Sin City is probably 90% black and white. But then they do that Schindler's List thing of every so often there'll be somebody in, like, a bright red dress on the screen, and the rest of it's black and white. But it's got real heart. I mean, it's got a real soul to it. It's just a beautiful, beautiful film. And I mean, it's very, and from what I know, I used to live with a guy who was a huge Frank Miller fanatic. And so I got kind of a layman's knowledge, I guess, of the Sin City sort of artwork in a Frank Miller style. But it's just, what Rodriguez said, which is that what Aaron told us, is that he said he couldn't turn a comic book into a movie. So he had no choice but to turn a movie into a comic book. And this is, I mean, I don't see how anybody could argue that this is the best ever blending of those two art forms. I mean, it's off the charts beautiful. I mean, it's the opening sequence alone. It is like Sky Captain in this sense. When you went to see Sky Captain the World Tomorrow, that first sequence where the Hindenburg is docking at the top of the Empire State Building,
yes,
it's like at that moment you're just sucked in. It's like you just, I remember sitting there, and this happens to me sometimes in movies, not nearly enough though. I'm sitting there and I'm watching the Hindenburg dock at the top of the Empire State Building. And you just get, you realize you have this huge smile on your face because you're seeing something that is unlike anything that's ever been seen. You realize you're seeing something that has never been seen before. It's a totally new style. And so it is with Sin City. There's this opening sequence, and then they pull back and they do the credit, you know, the opening credits, and it's just, I mean, it's just flawless. I mean, it is as close to a flawless movie as I've seen in a long, long time. It is fantastic. So we have tickets to that, by the way. Sin City, we have tickets to tomorrow's special midnight screening. We have pairs of tickets we're going to be giving away today and tomorrow.
Robert Rodriguez said there are a few changes that needed to be made for the film version.
Frank never drew them with the intention that someday they'd be on a movie screen, and that's what was so pure about them. That's why it didn't sound like screenplay dialogue. The shots were different. And there are some things where you'd go, well, in a single panel, this is fine, but with as much dialogue as we have, he's going to be there for quite a while with his dork hanging out. Do you think we should really do it that way? He goes, yeah, that would be distracting. Maybe we'll just continue the shadow on now. Because I think that's all anyone's going to be looking at. So some things you adapted, but mostly I really wanted to keep it true to what was there in the book because it was that pure.
It's just a great, and Bruce Willis is in it, and Bruce Willis is one of those guys who, just when you're ready to write him off, you know, he does something like Pulp Fiction, where you have to take him seriously again. And, I mean, it's just, the cast is unreal. I even liked Brittany Murphy, who I know a lot of people, there's some people there last night who didn't like Brittany Murphy in it, but I like Brittany Murphy. It's got Alexis Bledel from the Gilmore Girls, and she, to me, actually, she's the only weak spot. Because I love Alexis Bledel, I love her as Rory in the Gilmore Girls. You think what, make all the jokes you want. But really just like the acting ability of a board. So that's the only kind of weak spot of the film. But the Clive Owen, who people saw in Croupier a couple years ago, kind of a James Bond, Jude Law kind of guy. So, I mean, it's just unbelievably great.
Robert, tell us about your decision to leave the Directors Guild.
We were just about to shoot, and it felt so right. It felt like such a new thing that it wasn't going to fit into a lot of rule books. So I just thought, rather than have them change their rules, which would then be somebody might come and take advantage of, like, you know, studio head says, well, you have to make me a co-director now, you know. They really wanted that rule. They wanted to turn into the Writers Guild or the Producers Guild, where there's so many that you can't tell who did what. So I understood their position and said, well, this is such a weird movie. It's better if I leave anyway, because I was already thinking of bringing Quentin on as a special guest director, and that would never fly. So it felt better just to leave. And the implications, nothing really. I mean, I can't do a studio movie that was developed by a studio now. But that just means, you know, I should be doing my own material.
Yeah, this is, we'll kind of dork out for a minute here, so to speak. For film geeks who will be interested in this, if you don't know it already, that the deal is that Rodriguez wanted Frank Miller, who created the comic, the graphic novel, to be the co-director. And, of course, Frank Miller's not a member of the Directors Guild. And he also had, this is why this movie is cool on so many levels, because you're watching the opening credits, and it says special guest director, Quentin Tarantino. And I won't bother you, I won't distract you by telling you which sequence it is. You can look it up later if you want. But there's a sequence in the film that Tarantino directed for like a dollar. He was paying back a favor because Rodriguez scored Kill Bill. He did the score for that. And so as a favor, Tarantino directed one sequence of Sin City. And, but you're seeing all this thing where it's like special guest director Quentin Tarantino, co-director Frank Miller, you know, and all that stuff that the Directors Guild would never allow. And so, rather than buckle under, Rodriguez literally, he quit the Directors Guild and he burned his card. He burned his Directors Guild card, which is fantastic. But of course, because it's now an outside of the studio system film, he's not allowed to say, you know, edited by Robert Rodriguez and all that stuff. So he has his own kind of custom credit at the beginning where it says shot and cut by Robert Rodriguez, which sounds cooler anyway. And there was a little smattering of geek applause in the audience at the shot and cut by Robert Rodriguez credit, because he's very much in that stick it to the man mode, you know, which all the film guys love. So it's just it truly an independent film.
Robert, please discuss your working relationship between you and Frank Miller.
It was very complimentary. I mean, I really wanted him to be a director rather than just there as a writer or as a producer, because I felt, you know, if he just came as that, they might just stick him in a corner and feed him a sandwich every once in a while. But if he was in as a director, everyone would have to listen to him. And I wanted it not to be Robert Rodriguez's Sin City. I loved the book so much. I wanted it to be as close to something that he would do as a movie as possible. And it was more like a tag team, and we just, like, tag, he goes in, and he let me handle all the visual stuff. He was really there working with the actors, knowing the characters so well. He was able to tell them things that I didn't know anything about the characters, because it's not all in the books. A lot of it's in his head, and they loved that. They loved being able to know where the character was going in future volumes or what he was thinking when he put it together, how it should be performed.
Boy, and I will give no spoilers about the film, because, as you know, we try to stay spoiler-free during the non-iRobot sections of this show. But I will give no spoilers, I will say that it's got, as I said, an all-star cast, including Elijah Wood. Elijah Wood, who turns in one of the most indelible performances, and he does very little. His role, he doesn't do a lot in his role. But Elijah Wood, his performance will scorch its way right into your brain. I mean, that's the thing you will spend a few days trying to scrub out of your head. And it's just, it's so locked in that 40s where the girls all look like the Vargas pinup girls, you know, and it's a lot of dame this and a lot of cigarette that and a lot
tomatoes.
And a lot of the guys in the black trench coats standing in alleys talking about used guys and the coppers and the... And everything from the color scheme. And like I said, the movie is almost totally black and white, but it's got kind of the same... I realize not just becoming a complete drama dork here, but...
No, I want to hear it.
It's got very much the same color palette as like Nightmare Before Christmas, in that the palette is pretty much black, white, red, and orange. That's about it. And most of it's just black and white. So, anyway, now that's...
I'm going to the matinee this weekend.
Yeah, I'm not
going
to continue to sell it. Go see it. It's a fantastic movie. We have passes we're going to give away today and tomorrow.
Anybody watch Project Greenlight last night?
I taped it. It's on my TiVo. I got home late from the thing.
I won't spoil it for you.
I didn't get to see Project Greenlight.
Or The Office.
I haven't gotten to see The Office yet.
Me neither.
I haven't gotten to see The Shield yet. Mm-hmm. So all three of my Tuesday night shows are still sitting on my TiVo.
We'll talk about both tomorrow, though.
And it's like having the wife in the graveyard shift that makes it so difficult to watch. I'm not trying to complain. I mean, it's Rwandans have larger...
I have too much TV to watch.
I know.
It's a tough life.
It's tough to be an American. The tsunami victims are really sad for me, I know, but... all I had so much TV, and because Lara works the graveyard shift, it's so hard to find a time to go home. I got to stay away from the house because the. Long story short, the I was talking to Sarah about this. I won't drag out the details on the air, but the dog has all these issues going on. The dog was at the emergency room because he had this whole, you know, he had to do a thing. And
oh, no.
No, it's okay. But we had the dog come from the emergency room. He's feeling kind of woozy because they had to sedate him to do some stuff. So he's feeling kind of woozy. We're taking him down the porch steps. He trips, and he somehow completely, like, effed up one of his paws. So while his paw is healing, he's got to wear that lampshade thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? So his head's all, like, weighted down, and his balance is all thrown off. And plus, you got to keep it on at 24/7 for 2 weeks. And so he rattles and makes all this clanking noise around the house. So the dog's, like, five. So, and plus, when he was at the hospital, they had to give him an IV, but they couldn't find a vein on his legs. And when they do an IV, they shave a ring around your ankles, you know, like a reverse armband. Yeah. But they couldn't find a vein, so they had to shave three of his legs. So here's my dog. His foot's all messed up. Three of his ankles are shaved. So he looks like one of those fruity little poodles. Three ankles are shaved. His paw's all messed up. He's got a big lampshade on his head. I mean, he's just like this weird Island of Misfit Toys dog now. And so, but he makes all this noise around the house because the lampshade is rattled.
He's just running into things?
Yeah, and it extends out for like 6 inches on each side, so he's all wham! Like,
you should decorate it.
I want to take a picture of him so you can, he's hilarious.
Whenever my parents' dog Mocha would have to wear the lampshade, we'd decorate it for
him.
Oh,
it's hilarious. I'm going to take a picture, not because it's cute, but because it's ridiculous. And he's always running into the door frame and he's falling down the stairs. But he makes like twice as much noise now, and so I can't go home at all while Lara's sleeping. So I'm not getting any of my TV watched. So, yeah, The Office, The Shield, and Project Greenlight are all sitting there waiting to be watched. I mean, it's just crazy. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, here's something to make you feel better. Here's a story about Courtney Love.
Excellent.
Now that Courtney Love has some closure in her multiple court cases, she's ready to resume her movie career. The 40-year-old, yes, 40-year-old entertainer is attached to star in the tentatively titled Lovelace. She'll play Linda Lovelace, a household name in the porn industry, and star the 1972 Deep Throat.
That seems like the role she was born to play right there.
She'll follow the star's life from age 17 through her porn career and her adoption of radical feminism to her tragic death at 53 in 2002. Top of the Geek Watch.
Here's your Geek Watch. Like this whole show, I've been a Geek Watch.
Tolerably slow.
In the Quasar's Dilemma, remember you used to...
Just a television show. That's all, okay?
Right, but... Because we were wondering if the quantum flux... So just listen on
there. There is no quantum flux. There's no auxiliary. There's no goddamn shit. You got it?
Energize.
A South Jersey man is being jailed without bail in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania, on charges that he stabbed three people to death last Friday in King of Prussia, which is a city out there. In addition to facing first-degree murder charges in the stabbing death of Liza Greaves, her sister Heather, and Heather's three-year-old daughter, D.A. Bruce Castor, says John Ettinger is also charged with the 1999 murder of Jennifer Still of Bridgeport, Pennsylvania.
All right, now here comes the geek part.
Mm-hmm. Castor says the motive appears to be jealousy, but they're also looking into some sort of connection with a fantasy role-playing game, Dungeons & Dragons.
Welcome to 1984.
I mean...
The year, not the book.
You have many, many stab wounds, and those Dungeons & Dragons fantasy games involve swords and knives and daggers and things of that nature. There may be a connection, but I can't say for sure.
Okay.
It appears they're all part of the same circle of acquaintances.
Part of some satanic cult.
Castor hopes to prosecute all four murders at one time and says he'll seek the death penalty for Ettinger.
All right, there you go. There's your Geek Watch for whatever it is.
By Grandthor's hammer, by the sons of Warvan, I shall avenge you.
Next. Ooh, loneliness and cheeseburgers are a dangerous mix.
What a savings. Hi, who's this? Hi.
Hey, Rick.
Hi, who's this?
Brandon.
Hi, Brandon. How can I help you today?
I just had a comment about Shivo. The two main protesters in the film are going to be Bill and Ted, and everything's going to be tubular.
Okay. I'll write that down. Okay. Thank you, Brandon.
Let's get him some,
okay, there you
let's
go.
Get him some Carrot Top tickets.
That guy called like seven times trying to get that on the air. And Sarah finally she wrote on the screen, "For the love of God, will you just talk to this guy?" Because he called like seven different times. Like,
I have the best thing to say. I have the wittiest comment ever. Please to put me on the air.
And so there you go. That's, there you go. Here's Tim Riley.
Mary Cheney, the daughter and campaign manager of Vice President Dick Cheney, whose identity as a lesbian became an issue in the presidential campaign, has sold the rights to a memoir to Simon & Schuster for an advance of $1 million. She declined to speak about her personal life and opinions before the election, and many others brought up the issue. The first time I campaigned with my dad, I was 8 years old. I've been involved with campaigns as a family member, staffer, and I certainly never intended as a political target on the side.
Too busy being a selfish, isn't
it? It's been an amazing experience. Uplifting, frustrating, educational, and always entertaining. Mm-hmm. Simon & Schuster says Mrs. Cheney's book will be the first planned in a new line of titles about conservative politics and current events, overseen by Mary Matlin, a political consultant and close advisor to the Cheney family.
Boy, does Mary Matlin look like the butchiest thing since, you know, she's like the queen of Butchonia. Have you seen her? She got that, like, the hair all like she stuck her head in a blender and bad Wicked Witch of the West makeup and everything. I used to find Mary Matlin kind of cute in some perverse way, but, man, she's become painfully, frightfully ugly. We are so behind.
One more story?
Well, here's what we're going to have to do.
Yeah.
Well, I'll do one more and we'll break. I'll do the Jackson Watch later.
All
because
right.
If we wait, it's going to be too dated. So I'll do the Jackson Watch when we come back. Don't forget at 10:30.
Then it'll be time for the announcement.
11 minutes from now, we have an announcement about Listener Party 8.
Here is the money that I owe you.
Happening Friday, April 15th at 8 p.m. at the Viper Room, featuring our dead celebrity costume contest. So we will have a huge announcement about that coming up in 11 minutes. Here's Tim Riley.
Fiery supermodel Naomi Campbell has allegedly attacked another one of her assistants, beating her in the face with a BlackBerry and slapping her. Campbell was traveling with a young female assistant in Brazil last week when the catfight catwalker pounced on her pay during an argument. Naomi was slapping her with one hand and beating her with a BlackBerry on the other.
Excellent.
The sobbing assistant threatened to report the BlackBerry beat down to police. Campbell warned that she would have to leave her stranded in South America. Naomi told her, if you go to the police, you're going to have to pay for your airfare home, and I'm going to whack you with a hotel bill.
Didn't Naomi Campbell beat somebody with a phone a few years ago? Wasn't that her last assistant? All right.
Yeah, she's an evil, evil woman.
She clearly is. She's clearly terrible. Well, should we break here?
Yes, why not?
Well, let's break here. When we come back, we'll have a huge announcement about Listener Party 8, and we've got the Jackson Watch, all that on the way. Jolie's going to be here, etc. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland.
Whipping and ripping at your body and soul. What do you like? Who's
dead? It ain't rock and roll.
It ain't the glory days with Bruce Springsteen. I'm not a virgin.